Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome everybody to the 110 Nation Sports Show, broadcasting live out of the Carolina Sports Plus studio tonight. So thankful to be here. We tried to do this last week, but ran into technical difficulties. I gave it a good run for 30 minutes trying to get this started last week. But you know what? I'm not going to complain. I'm going to be fortunate. Because a lot's happened over the last week and gives us just that much more to talk about. So looking forward to doing this tonight. But even more so, looking forward to doing it tonight. I'm looking forward to doing it tonight with my new co-host, Mario. I'm getting ready to put him into the Carolina Sports Plus studio as well. Mario, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm here. I was rushing. My last run took a little bit longer than I thought it was going to take, but I am here. It's been a long time since I've heard your voice. For those that, well, obviously nobody knows except for you and I. Mario used to be a customer of mine, and I've been a customer is his, but I think you've always given me free stuff, so I don't think I've technically been a customer of yours yet,
Yeah.
We've had many conversations. We used to live in the same town. Now we live multiple states away. Thank God for technology and getting to do this. So glad to have you on board. Glad to have you part of the 110 Nation, even more than being one of our marketing partners. Speaking of which, I want to give an opportunity to give you an opportunity to kind of promote Carolina Sports Plus, where you're located, how they can get merchandise, website, Facebook, all that kind of stuff before we jump into things real quick.
Okay, we'd love to. We're located in Rayford, North Carolina. You can catch us on Facebook and Instagram at Carolina Sports Plus. And we're also online at carolinasportsplus.com. We have plenty of good deals, plenty of nice merchandise, and check us out.
Not going to lie.
Great.
Never realized you had much of a North Carolina accent until I've been away for a few years. I can hear that.
North
Carolinian in you.
Yeah. Been a long time.
Make sure that you guys check out the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network by going to www.the110nationsportsradionetwork.com. You can catch all the shows, just like the season premiere of Race Chat Live last night. If you guys missed it, Craig, Chris, Taz, and Miss Lee were all in the studio getting you guys ready for the NASCAR season, talking a little Indy as they talk SRX racing. They talk a little bit of everything. Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. If you go over there to www.110nationsportsradionetwork, you can also click on tabs. I know some people listen to shows on iHeartRadio. They listen to podcasts on Spotify, iTunes. It's got all the links to send you to whatever app you prefer to listen to. Then follow us over there. That way you guys do not miss any of the shows. I'm going to know Southern Dirt Track Report, which is Thursday night, 8 o'clock. They will be back here in the next month or two, so looking forward to having them back on the network as well. If you're out there and have a show and you want it syndicated on our network, or maybe you don't have a platform to do your show on and you want to come on board and do your show on our network, just hit me up. Send me an email, MrCJSports@gmail.com. Or hit us up on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports, and we'll definitely get back with you. Like I said, we're syndicated on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes. There's a whole list of them on our site that we're syndicated on. Blog Talk Radio, obviously, Spreaker, you name it, we're pretty much on there. We had a whole list of things we was going to jump into. We had this whole agenda. Matter of fact, last week you had a whole agenda. Had to scratch that, had to modify that. Some of that was time sensitive, some of it wasn't. As in the divisional rounds of the NFL. Now we had the championship round. But just like it seemed like every Sunday, there was one person that managed to upset and change things, even the last minute or two of a game, and it kind of upset the flow of things tonight. And, yes, I'm talking of TB12, also known as Tom Brady. I want to kind of jump into that before we actually jump into our agenda tonight as he announced that he, this time for sure, is retiring. I know that people and Tom Brady, it's a love-hate kind of relationship. If you're on your team, you love them. If you're a Patriots fan or you're a Buccaneer fan, you love them. If you're anything else to include Mario, Carolina Panthers fan, you're not such a fan of them, especially with that Super Bowl loss. I'm going to get your thoughts and opinions. Me personally, I like Tom Brady. My team or not. I guess because I never had a real high bar being a Cleveland Browns fan. I'm hoping this next year maybe things will turn around. Now we got a whole year with Deshaun Watson and new defensive coordinator and everything else. But the bar was never real high while Tom Brady was a quarterback. So, it wasn't out of the ordinary for us to get beat by the Patriots or really any other team. So I learned to appreciate. I learned to chuckle at fans. I know everybody in the Tuck Rule and all this, everybody upset with them for cheating or accusing them of cheating and this, that, and the other. Always still blew my mind that he got suspended for 4 games and they never actually proved that he deflated anything, but he still served his suspension. I'm a firm believer every team cheats. You know, Atlanta got fined for having fake crowd noise. You had Sean Payton suspended for a year for the paid bounty and all that stuff. Everybody cheats, just whether or not you get caught Super or not, pull it everything. I feel every team cheats one way or another. To include my Browns, I'm not delusional that my team's not bent the rules. I learned to appreciate. I think that a fan of Tom Brady or not. When Tom Brady, unless he was playing your team, when Tom Brady got that ball and it was only a minute or a minute and a half or 45 seconds, I think deep down inside, no matter how much you disliked him, you wanted to see if he could do it again. Can this man, no timeouts, 40 seconds, he got to go 90 yards, 40 seconds, no timeouts, can he do it? And sure enough, he usually did it. And I think the other part that sticks out is everybody was talking about this all day long. He basically had a Hall of Fame career in his 20s. Then if you just take what he did in his 30s, was another Hall of Fame career. And if you took what he did in his 40s, another Hall of Fame career. Yes.
No, I have no hatred towards
him. Well, that's good. Even with the loss even the loss of Super Bowl to the Panthers, no hate.
Even with the loss to the Super Bowl, you know, we had our opportunities. But as far as hatred for him, I don't have no hatred for him. I feel good just seeing his greatness. So, I kind of leave it as that.
You know, it's going to be weird. Living in a generation and moving forward, not having Tom Brady. I know your kids, I remember how old your kids are, but I know they're on the younger side. To know when they're in the teenage years or even get to be in their 20s and they're like, Tom Brady, like, who's this Tom Brady? You know, kind of, my son's 16, and, you know, Michael Jordan's kind of a distant thought. Like, he's heard of Michael Jordan, but you're only going to see him on highlights at this point, in his lifetime. So, you know, it's going to be those kind of – it's just going to be weird. We get sit around in our 60s and 70s. And remember back when Tom Brady did this? And not you had it for 23 years or something?
So it's
just going to be weird not to be part of your Sunday – fantasy picks, your football your sports bets, all that to include what is Tom Brady, who is Tom Brady playing, and everything else. It's just going to be weird.
Mm-hmm. What does he rank? Where does he rank with you?
He's definitely greatest all time when it comes to quarterback or NFL player. They've been in conversation today whether or not he is the greatest athlete of all time. And where the argument, and I kind of agree with the argument. Like, if you talk NBA, you know, you can legitimately almost have a three-person argument, Jordan, LeBron, and Kareem. When you have baseball, there's not really a cut favorite when you talk about all time. Anybody NFL you talk, it's pretty much Tom Brady. Regardless if you're a fan or not, you're going to say Tom Brady, greatest of all time. He might not have been the most athletic person when it comes to athletes, but what he did on the field, off the field, just listen to LeSean McCoy talk today about even in that last Super Bowl run with Tampa Bay and just how he prepared for the game and how he took things and how he coached people and how he text messaged people. I've learned a lot of this last week, and it and so that kind of elevates. And, you know, if my son wanted to be an NFL player, and I said this a long time ago about Tim Tebow, you know, I a lot of people don't idolize Tim Tebow or look at Tim Tebow in a way that I look at Tim Tebow. I look at Tim Tebow. If my son grew up to play football, I'd want to him to follow Tim Tebow's steps, where he was a good man, he was a Christian man, he was all these things, regardless if he was successful or not, which he made millions, but he did it the right way. And Tom Brady's another one. He did it the right way. He took care of his body. He was a good person. He was humble. He wasn't one of these that went out to the strip joints or got in trouble with the law or, you know, even Miles Garrett wrecking his car. We all know he was acting a fool. But he did it the right way. And so I would want my son to be like that if he ever grew up to be a football player. How does he rank with you?
He ranks greatest of all time to me as well. I totally agree. I totally agree with everything you just said. You know, just as far as his leadership and his longevity in football, you know, kind of speaks for his own.
Now, I'm not sure how old you are. I know we're close, probably in age. I can't remember.
I'm 41.
Okay, yeah, we're not too far. If I turn 45 this month, so I'm same age as Tom Brady. I couldn't imagine putting in at 45 years old, putting in the physical conditioning, the physical everything, the hits and everything at 45 like Tom Brady took. That's another part of what he did that I have bad respect for, even in my 40s period. And I've noticed after I've got into my 40s, things hit a little bit differently. You wake up sore than you used to wake up, or, you know, you step the wrong way, and now with a week-long nagging ankle or knee or something versus when you're in your 20s or 30s. I couldn't imagine playing one of the toughest sports and get banged up the way he does at 45 years old. And I think that's the other part. Where I think this time might be the actual real deal. Because he always said he wanted to play to 45. So he juked us last year on February 1st and came back. But this year, February 1st, he's 45. He hit that goal. He could check everything off. He has, like, every record possible, and by a long shot, I don't think hardly any of his records are going to be beat.
How do you feel about his last year compared to if he would have left after he won the Super Bowl? Does it sway anything? Does it move anything? Do you think different, or how do you feel about that?
No, I don't think – only thing I think is I think this year the physical part of it caught up with him. I'm not going to say – because he still had a great year, especially for 45. I think when you come off the Super Bowl, you didn't really get hurt. You still felt great. I could do this again. But I think this year, I think 8-9 season wasn't as fun. Of course, you had to change that head coach position. I just don't think it was as fun, and I think his body told him, look, it's that time. Go relax and enjoy the rest of your life. Let's enjoy the rest of our life. Let's not do this all the year. I don't think any less of him as a player. I held that last game. I mean, he blew everybody away. It was the last game of the game before when he threw the 3 touchdowns to Mike Evans and kept them. Yeah, it might have been the one before the last game, and that game that they had. He showed that he still had it. It was against Carolina, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's right. It sure was.
All right, we got that out of the way. I think everybody's kind of gave their two cents on there throughout the day. I think it kind of surprised. I think we knew it was coming. It was either that he was going to go play somewhere else for a year or two and go on his way. I think we knew his Tampa Bay days were probably done, but I think we all kind of had an idea this was about it. This last weekend, we had the conference championship games, and the first one we'll jump into is the San Francisco-Philadelphia game. I tell you what, Mario, those 49ers can't catch a break to save their life.
No, they can't. Yeah.
You lost, what, Trey Lance in week one or week two, then you lost Garoppolo a couple weeks after that. You're riding the wave of Brock Purdy into the playoffs, and then the first quarter, might have even been like the first drive, he goes down.
Yeah.
You bring in Joe Johnson, who's been in the league forever. You had to actually Google who he even played for, so you really know. You've heard the name, but didn't really know the name.
Yeah.
Then he gets hit, goes to concussion. Then you got to bring Purdy back in, who can't throw the football. So even though your defense has kind of kept you in the game at this point, once the defense realized you're not throwing the ball at all, then that was kind of the end of that. My opinion or my question for you, first of all, is would it have made more sense to do the game plan they did? Or I know that I can't remember who was commentary in the game. It might have been Tony Romo. I don't remember if they did that game or the other game. But one of them mentioned the fact that maybe they need to go ahead and make McCaffrey wildcat. At least there be some threat of a pass game / runner. I've never been one for the wildcat. I think it's kind of predictable. But in this situation, at least, you know, if McCaffrey could prove that he could throw the ball at least somewhat, that would at least give you some kind of threat, at least made the defense kind of respect there's a chance of a throw. Instead, you went with Purdy, which there was no respect it was going to be any kind of throw. In your opinion, and I know this is just two guys sitting in the studio second guessing Shanahan, who has proven to be a very wise coach, but do you feel that he made the right call on that? Would you have played it out the way Shanahan did? Or would you have tried to gone with a wildcat and see if McCaffrey could have helped generate, spark something?
I would definitely try it. But I felt like during that time of the game, I want to say he kind of the offense kind of gave up, but it was kind of like just tipping towards the ending point. You know what I mean? I just kind of go back of how do you lead Pro Bowl defensive end on a second string tight end with no help? You know what I mean?
No.
To get your quarterback hurt in the first place. You know what I mean? That's what kind of started it. But I would have tried the wildcat. But during that time of the game, I just felt like the 49ers offense just kind of said, you know, this is what it is, and this is how it's going to end. You know.
We've lost four quarterbacks this year. It just wasn't meant to be our year.
kind of like saying, you know, it's over with, but we already know we didn't have our quarterback. So what could have, should have been, nobody knows. You know what I mean? That's the angle. That's the angle that they got right now. You know what I mean? As far as, you know, the 49ers, what could have happened if we would have had our quarterbacks, you know? But
yeah.
Now
with the Philadelphia Eagles, and a lot has been made of it. Oh, they scored all these points in the last two games, and they this, they that. Two things. One, after watching the 49ers Philadelphia game, I felt whoever won the Kansas City Cincinnati Bengals game, that was going to be your Super Bowl champion. because I was not impressed, and I could be wrong, and I'm waiting to hear what you're going to say about this, but I was not impressed by Philadelphia. I was not impressed with the fact that in a conference game, Jalen Hurst barely threw for over 100 yards, or only rushed for like 40 yards, and everybody made a big deal about the 38 points. Well, you better run up the points. You better run up the score, because your defense has literally got to do nothing other than to stop the run, because there is no threat. So they should be three and outs. You should have the ball enough time that you should be able to run up the score regardless. I have not been as in, I guess I have not personally been as impressed with Jalen Hurts as everybody else this season, or a majority of the people this season. What's your thoughts? Are you impressed with the Philadelphia Eagle win? Are you impressed with the Eagles? What was your thoughts of the Eagles?
My thoughts of the Eagles. Eagles are good at press. No. Would I like them to see him win it? It wouldn't bother me. You know, Jalen Hurts came a long way. You know, he got his own little story within himself. So, you know, his story is good. You know, as far as his background and how far, you know, all the ups and downs he had from Oklahoma, Alabama, you know, going to the second round, you know, Jason Wentz and being a backup, and then, you know, this offseason talking about Russell Wilson trading for him, you know, so he kind of proved a point as far as leading a team to a Super Bowl. I want to see him win it. I won't say over the Patrick Mahomes train, but you know he's good. But it's kind of a toss up. But as far as the Eagles, impressed? No. Would I like to see him win it? Yes. Do I like Jalen Hurts? He has a story, a good story, yeah. But
maybe I'm just biased. I'm a very anti-Alabama, so if you have anything to do with Alabama, I really don't want to see.
I feel you. I have no problem with Alabama. So I told
being a Buckeye. Being a Buckeye. That's almost as bad as someone being a Duke fan from Duke for you. And that's the way it is with Michigan or Alabama.
How do you feel about what's the linebacker from Cowboys telling the Eagles to go win it all for their division? How do you feel about that, Parsons? How do you feel about that?
I don't think that Barstool Sports should have made such a big deal about it. But at the same time, I couldn't imagine anybody from the Buckeyes saying that from Michigan, or anybody from the Browns saying that is the Steelers or the Ravens. The only exception possibly to the rule that I can see it possibly happen is if somebody from the Browns said it to somebody in Cincinnati, even though they're in the same division, we represent the same state. That might be, and I'm very anti-Cincinnati, even being a Cleveland fan, I'm very anti-Cincinnati. As a matter of fact, I've cheered for the Chiefs. I picked Chiefs in the sports book. I'm very anti-Cincinnati. I'm very anti-Houday. I'm not a big fan of that. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm definitely not a big fan of that. Hey, that right there would rub me the wrong way as far as being in a locker room with somebody, you know what I mean? But, you know, it could be different. It could be, you know what I mean? It could be different. It definitely would rub me the wrong way.
I know they're not related, but let's spin it, though, for a second. Let's say your son is a Duke Blue Devil.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say go win the big dance?
No. I want to see them lose.
My son became a Wolverine. Yeah. Look, you need to change the last name. Don't put that last name on the back of a Wolverine jersey. Oh, Lord. There was another championship game this weekend. It was the Kansas City Chiefs and those stupid Bengals.
The Bengals.
The rest of my family loves the Bengals. I am the only anti-Bengal, the only Browns person in my entire family. For those that listen to the show on a regular basis, y'all know I'm very anti-Bengals. I hate the Who Day saying. It's been a very pleasant week this week. I've not had to hear Who Day or anything about the Bengals this week. As a matter of fact, I've hardly even had to see a jersey all week. Everybody's kind of put that stuff in the closet. That's kind of the difference between the Bengals fans, the Bengals fans and the Browns fans. I still see Brown stuff all the time, no matter we lose all the time.
Yeah.
Bengals fans, they only bring their stuff out when they're winning. But we had a championship game this weekend. The Chiefs, obviously, they pulled it off at the end. Close game, closer than I wanted to be. Mamie had to stay up later.
I had to be up first thing
in the morning. Yeah, I had to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So the fact that it took the Chiefs to the very last 4 seconds of the game to take that lead was kind of aggravating. But I knew I couldn't go to sleep unless I knew who won the game. So I knew what I was expecting on Monday. My big takeaway from that game, though, is people talking about the refs. And for those that have listened to the show for a long time, I've said this about my Buckeyes when they've messed up. I've said this about the Browns when they've messed up. I say this about any team, any time. You take care of business, a bad call or two will not determine the outcome of the game. There's a very far few exceptions to that rule.
I agree.
But you take care of that business. Like I told somebody today, those referees didn't throw the two interceptions. The referee didn't allow the quarterback to get sacked at least 4 times. There was many things that the Bengals did to themselves to cause themselves to be in the position that they should not have been in. They honestly should have won that game. They should, if they didn't allow that quarterback to get sacked, if they would have blocked and Burrow wouldn't have thrown the two interceptions, then we wouldn't even have this conversation. But because they did not take care of business, they put themselves in the predicament, and nobody, to include number 58, Oasis, or whatever his name is, that sat on that sideline for about 30 minutes crying because he knew he screwed up. I mean, Mahomes was almost able to be in the stand sitting down with the fans before he got pushed. That's how late that push was.
It was very late.
If he wouldn't have touched him, I think we go into overtime and we might not have the same outcome. I don't think the kicker makes it from that distance. Not in the cold, not the way that that night was going. We probably at least would have seen an overtime game. But instead, he did what he did, put the Bengals in the situation. And another thing I didn't like that week is week one, the first game in the playoffs, the Bengals were all, oh, everybody, we're the underdog. Nobody thinks we deserve to be here. All this, all that. Then by the time you roll into week two of the playoffs, we're going to Burrowhead. We're going to this. We're going to that. So you went from the underdogs and being humble about it to now you become cocky because you beat the Buffalo Bills and think your stuff don't stink. You kind of put yourself in that situation where your mouth wrote checks that you guys couldn't cash.
It got them more hyped up. You know what I mean? You already know.
Yeah.
Somebody's gonna be talking like that. The other opponent is gonna be very hyped up, ready to go.
Yeah. Especially when you got the mayor of Cincinnati running his mouth. You got Mixon running his mouth. I give him credit. The only one that wasn't running his mouth was Joe Burrow. He kind of kept his mouth shut and was trying to focus on what needed to be done. I think everybody else should have spent more time focusing on what needed to be done. There's another point I was going to bring up in that game, and I had it in my mind. If I think about it, I'll go back to it. Another topic we had lined up for tonight was one of them was going to be where's Tom Brady going to end up, but we got that already. We got 3 other quarterbacks right now that could have an impactful, significant make a difference in the organization. and that's Derek Carr, Lamar Jackson, and Aaron Rodgers. Where we're going to tackle the Aaron Rodgers thing at first. There's a lot of talk about Aaron Rodgers being traded. I think we're possibly at a point where Green Bay and Rodgers are wanting to go their different ways. I don't think that Rodgers wants to keep going through the cycle of not really having top receivers, but when you're also requiring the amount of money to play, it makes it hard with salary cap. I know that the Jets have a situation where they got some top receivers. I guess real good person relation to him has got something to do with the organization. If he's the quarterback coach, offensive coach, I don't know the exact title.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I think if there's a move to be made, I see them sending Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. I think that for Aaron Rodgers, what I see is Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets. It gives a chance first for Green Bay to see what they have in Love, and see whether or not they made the right choice, or if this is what they drafted, if this is what they're going to go forward with, then it's time. And also it gives the chance for the Jets to have another year or two to draft another quarterback, because obviously the Zach Wilson thing is not going to work. And you have two good receivers, especially with Wilson Garrett from Ohio State. I can't remember who the other wide receiver is, but they got some serious threats over there. And if they just put a quarterback behind what they got going on, the Jets actually could be a threat in the East. I think it would give Aaron Rodgers a new scene, an opportunity to have some targets. It gives the Jets a couple of years to draft a quarterback, possibly this year or next, to get them developed before Aaron Rodgers is ready to retire. And it gives Green Bay an opportunity, one, to get something in return, probably draft picks, gets Aaron Rodgers and his salary off their books, but also gives them a chance to move forward and let their young guys grow together and kind of move forward with their with what they got going on over there. What's your thoughts on the whole Aaron Rodgers?
I would like to see Aaron Rodgers go to the Jets, and I think Aaron Rodgers still got a lot left though. He can still do Aaron Rodgers things, but it would definitely benefit the Jets. But I'm not too sure on Love, though.
No, I ain't either.
Yeah.
But at some point, you got to figure it out. Either that's your future, or it's not.
Yeah.
You can't keep extending your contract with Aaron Rodgers and being unhappy, and then not knowing, okay, do we have the next quarterback, or do we need to reassemble, or reassess this? I was listening to Colin Cowherd today, and they brought up an interesting point, though, with everybody kind of pulling out with Tom Brady retiring. If Hurts wins the Super Bowl, he's going to demand more money. So therefore, things are going to get tricky in Philadelphia. What would make Green Bay go, hey, look, Aaron, why don't you stick around for a couple more years? You're about to be the best quarterback in the NFC, because there's really nobody else left in the NFC quarterback wise. We could potentially make a run at this. I think that's just putting a Band-Aid on it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It seems like every offseason is an ongoing drama thing. We didn't even know if he was coming back last year. For all we knew, he was going to continue doing Jeopardy for all we knew this last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point you got to pull that Band-Aid off and just decide to go and do what you figure it out without each other. And I think this is a good point. It's an opportunity for both of them, really. Green Bay gets some picks and possibly a player, get them off the books. Aaron Rodgers get a chance to actually have some legitimate receivers and kind of really take a team as kind of equivalent to where he's at now. I'm kind of medium, middle of the pack team, and possibly make something of it. The next quarterback on the talk is Derek Carr. Obviously, no longer going to be with the Oakland Raiders. Or I'm sorry, there you go, St. Oakland Raiders. Los Angeles, yeah. Las Vegas, there you go. We'll get it. If they quit moving, I would remember what their name was. the Las Vegas Raiders. At first, you know, I wasn't sure. Because there was talks linking potentially Tom Brady going to San Francisco, not knowing if Brady was going to be ready for the next season because he's out for 6 months now. We heard Shanahan say today that there was really no way that Jimmy G was going to be part of this team next year. I mean, he said that last year, I think coaches get aggravated with the whole injury thing. It seems like Jimmy Garoppolo spends more time injured than he actually does playing. And then you have Trey Lance, who's also coming off a serious injury, and I don't know if Trey Lance is really the answer as well. So I know there was talks of potentially Tom Brady going out, playing San Francisco, playing in a system, a team that was good. You add that veteran, good quarterback for another year or two, gives 49ers a chance to kind of reassess as well. And figure out life, maybe develop Brock Purdy more or whatever. Of course, Tom Brady pulled his name out of that hat with retirement. So now that leaves the possibility of Derek Carr. You throw Derek Carr in a situation on a team that's good, a team that's going to protect their quarterback, because outside of that hit with the tight end trying to block the defensive end, they've been pretty good at keeping Purdy protected. You got serious players over there. Huh?
How good is Carr?
Purdy.
How good is Carr?
I'm not a big fan of Carr. But I think in that system, with as good as that defense is, and with Shanahan coaching them and his schemes, I think that Carr could live in that system. I'm not going to say he's going to be MVP of the league, but I think that you're talking about a seventh-round Brock Purdy who never played in the NFL, managed to win the rest of his games and make it to the playoffs. I can't see why, with the same situation with Derek Carr, they could not do the same thing and potentially go further into the playoffs.
I would like to see Carr go down to Houston. Houston, Texas, link up with go down there. But they got a pick. They got a draft pick. They can easily get there. A young quarterback, you know, that's what kind of like stops that, though.
That's a possibility as well. If I was Derek Carr, I would be knocking on the 49ers door, though.
Oh, yeah.
Much better situation with a much better
coach.
Look, I'll even let you get me on the discount if you want. Like, let's talk versus having to go to Houston. I mean, obviously, getting fired from your current situation, you know, you can only, bargain so much, but, you know, look.
Yeah.
But didn't you just get cut from the Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
Let me offer my services.
But they already committed to their Tua.
Tua.
But should he retire? Should he just go ahead and call it quit before next year even comes?
Who, Tua?
Yeah.
I mean, he's had a rough year. He doesn't impress me as a quarterback. I mean, Miami obviously schemed around him and done well. At some point, honestly, after that first hit and he was woozy, I would have rethought life. Like, look, I would have gone home and like, look, can I live off the some odd million dollars I already got? Is this enough? Like, so what's the point of having this lifestyle, this money, if your brain's is all scrambled the rest of your life, you know, and that's why you got so many players nowadays retiring so early. You hear this from player, this player retired at 26, this player, you know, they sit at home like, look, I got $40 million in the bank. Why am I doing this anymore? Like, You know, I used to only make $40,000 in a year, and I got $40 million yeah. sitting, or $12 million, yeah. whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Like, this is not worth it to me no more. So I think this offseason, Tua really needs to sit down and think about it. Like, can I financially invest financially, whatever, work for myself, flip houses,
yeah,
whatever.
One more. They're going to get him out of there. I don't think the NFL is going to allow him to see one more concussion now. If he gets one more concussion known, he got to go then. You know, so.
Yeah.
What'd you think about Jackson? Where's Jackson going?
I think.
You saying?
Call me crazy. I think Baltimore. My issue, and I try not to be biased with it, I am not a run first, throw second quarterback. So therefore, I was never really a fan of Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Cam Newton.
Yeah.
The only one that kind of impressed me was Randall Cunningham in the day. But these quarterbacks, these quarterbacks
that use their legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your shelf life is only so long. Then if you get a defense that plays that, then then you got to live off that arm. Then yes, every once in a while, just like Cam Newton, you would make a hellified pass. But most of the time that's not what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And so I think at some point, I think both of them are going to get closer. The numbers are going to get a little bit closer to a point they can make an agreement. Because Baltimore has done – they have done – drafted and signed free agents around having that game plan in place.
I
don't think anybody else is going to give me the money, give Lamar Jackson the money that he's wanting. I don't think anybody else is one, their system is set up for that, but two, no one's going to pay someone that is not going to throw the ball in. Not only you got a game plan for that, but like I said, the shelf life, the injuries, and those have mounted up lately.
You think his best years are behind him? Is Jackson?
I think unless he really takes time in the offseason and develop a passing game, I think yes. Because you're only getting older, the injuries are only piling up, and defenses – this has been the same way for every quarterback. Like just like with Cam Newton.
Yep.
You know, Cam Newton came out, he ran all over everybody. But once the defenses had time to watch video, study, and adjust, those yardage became less and less. And then made him pass more and more, and that's why no longer did Carolina want him. That's why he didn't make it in New England, because now we're requiring, as you got older and you're not taking the beating as much, the defenses have adjusted, you're not running as much. You're not doing the same things you did that first or second year you came out. Defenses didn't know how to do it. And so that was just like any other thing that's happened. That was like Tim Tebow that first year when he came out. It took Denver to the playoffs. And, you know, that next year the defenses adjusted and it was different. Same way with Lamar Jackson. Same way with Michael Vick. You know, when he first came in the league, he ran all over everybody. But once defenses learned how to play him, then luckily for Michael Vick, he had a little bit more of an arm.
Out of all them quarterbacks, though, Vic had the most arm strength and accuracy out of all of them. You know what I mean? As far as when his career had to change, he's the one that adjusted better than any of them. I can say that.
He adjusted better in Philadelphia than he did in Atlanta. When he went to Philadelphia, that was kind of the end of the whole run thing. And then that's when you really got to see him pass. Next topic on there on the list. I'm just going to have about 10 more minutes. I'm going to skip over. Because I want to get to the LeBron thing. I want to make sure we get that in. I want to make sure, first of all, we're not NFL dominant. Yeah. We'll talk about the 17-game record things and all that stuff another night. Congratulations, LeBron James. Became fourth all-time on the assist list. 89 points away from all-time scoring. I guess we really don't appreciate or think about what that really means, because I saw the stats today, and to see him on the assist list and then see how the top five people, whatever, in assist, and see what they are scoring, what their rankings in scoring, and vice versa, just blows your mind to know he's 1-4, and everybody else is like top 5-1. They're like 50th or 60th or something ridiculous in the other.
Yeah, that's a good stat right there.
Very, very impressed with what he has accomplished, and he's another one that I'm not going to say I'm a LeBron fan. I'm a Cleveland Cavalier fan. So when he's with Cleveland, sure, I'm down for cheering for LeBron James. When he's not a Cleveland Cavalier, I'm not a LeBron James fan. I'm a Cleveland Cavalier fan, so I cheer for Cavaliers. So right now I cheer on Donovan Mitchell. I'll cheer on Kevin Love. I'll cheer on who's on my team. Just like right now I'll cheer on Kareem Hunt as a running back, but if he goes somewhere else because he's not happy, whatever the situation is, I'm no longer a Kareem Hunt fan. Yep. I am just a Cleveland Browns fan. I stay loyal to my team. But I do – he's another one just like Tom Brady that he has done everything right, and I have a great appreciation for that. I may not care for some of his social – the things that he does and says socially, and I think he gets kind of carried away with some of the stuff he does on social media and some of the things that he does politically and all that involved. But when it comes to what he does for the kids and what he does, how he's a man for his wife and his kids and a role model, those kind of things, I greatly appreciate and have mad respect for. Because once again, you know, we've seen, you know, different basketball players and their domestic issues, their drug issues, their whatever issues. Then you got someone like LeBron who's on top of the world, has all the money, can do pretty much anything he wants. But yet he's never cheated on his wife, as far as we know of. He's highly involved with both of his kids, or at least two of them. I don't know how many. I think he's only got two, but he's done stuff for the community and everything else. Like, so I have a lot of respect for that. Your thoughts on his accomplishments?
Because in these days, you just take greatness. He's great. He's definitely great. You know, you got to appreciate the greatness he's done as far as the NBA, because that the stats what you just said as far as the points to assist, and you go look at somebody else, that does have a lot to say about his basketball IQ and how he takes and how he is on that court. Because he's talking about to be number one in points and 4 in assists. That's great right there. So as far as his greatness, you know. It's definitely. I'm glad I got to saw it as far as him play, but I can definitely appreciate how good he is as a basketball player.
That's another one right there. Can you imagine? You know, you figure at best 2 or 3 years. You know, he wants to play with his son on the same team, and then that's going to be pretty much it. Whenever that happens, we already know it's either that or the next season, and that's it. And to know that there's not going to be a LeBron James on the court no more, just like there's not a Tom Brady. Like you're talking 20 years again. Like 20 years, like pretty much half of our life, we have seen Tom Brady or LeBron James playing the sport, and it's about to be no more. My grandson will never know of a Tom Brady or of a LeBron James. Like he's like 5 right now. Like that's he's gonna have to Google those names, Wikipedia or whatever. That's insane to even have that thought. The other night there was a controversial call against him and the Boston Celtics. Call did not go in his favor. Jason Tatum fouled, did not foul, whatever the case may be. We'll get into that in a second. Missed the shot, pretty much the layup, caused the game to go in overtime. Boston wins the game. First of all, first part is the fact that, you know, talking about we're too close. If they won the game, I think they were 4th in the standings. They lose, they're like 8th or 9th in the standings at the time. It's an important game to them. And just like they brought up today, the fact that you don't play back-to-back, so you lose that game, And then everybody sits out the next game, and KD's out, and someone else is out, and Kyrie Irving is carrying Boston, or I'm sorry, not Boston, but Brooklyn, which if everybody would have played, they could have won that game. And then obviously they won the next night with the hints last night. So you could have won two out of the last three games, but instead you lose two out of three games because you got beat on a bad call the first night, and then you all decided to sit out the next night when you could have won a game that you should have won. So that, I found that kind of humorous. But I'm not going to lie. He got fouled. It was a bad call.
Yeah, he did. He did.
But my thing with it is LeBron is – him and James Harden to me are the two biggest floppers in the league, or at least was. I've not kept up with it lately.
Yeah.
But they are very dramatic with flopping. And I feel that it kind of – you kind of weep what you sow. So if you constantly flop in and you're constantly being dramatic and not actually being fouled, one, when you actually get fouled and not get called, I kind of chuckled off because you brought it on yourself. The referees are going to – it's like the boy that cried wolf. You know, you keep saying, I'm fouled, I'm fouled, I'm fouled. And they watch you on video flopping around and not really being fouled. Then, you know, they miss the call, and they're not going to believe you or assume that you're just being dramatic for no reason. So I don't feel but so bad for the call because the fact that you flop so bad and you also get away with a little bit of, you know, fouls that you shouldn't get away with as well. So I didn't feel
so
bad.
And they still had an opportunity to win the game too.
I feel if you weren't so dramatic and at the free throw line on your knees and basically crying and just been like, what?
Yeah.
It's a bad call. Let's get this. Let's get what was ours in overtime.
Yeah.
Game would probably have been differently, but you would act like you lost your lifelong, you lost your high school sweetheart that you're married to, whatever, or just lost your kids in a car accident. Like you just, like a meltdown. Did you see the part where Patrick Beverly grabbed the camera?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Very entertaining. I saw that when he gave it to the ref.
I understand why they gave him a tee, and I have a lot of shows I've watched, and they said that he deserved the tee. I'm sure he probably, by rules, deserved a tee, but I thought it was very entertaining. Patrick Beverly is one of those, to me. Patrick Beverly, to me, is one of those players that if he's on your team, you love him.
Yeah.
If he's not
you
on your
him.
Team, you hate him. I think it's like a Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley's on your team, you love him. Charles Barkley on your team, you don't like him.
You are.
That's how I feel about Patrick Beverly. Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't know if there's anything I was going to jump into. We only got about two more minutes left on tonight's show. Before we jump out of here, one, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'm glad for all those that either catch the show live tonight or will catch either the replay over at www.the110nationsportsradionetwork.com. Or either you can catch the tab there or if you catch us on iHeart or Spotify. As a matter of fact, they have a whole list. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Savon, Podcast Addicts, Deezer, Podchaser, or here on Blog Talk Radio. You can really catch us just about anywhere. The links are also on our Facebook page, 110 Nation Sports. I want to thank you all for tuning in, catching the show. Don't forget, on Tuesday nights, you guys can catch Race Chat Live, 8 o'clock. Chris, Craig, Taz, and Miss Lee, every Tuesday night, we'll be in the studio catching up on all things NASCAR. We're talking about SRX Radio. I don't know why I said radio. SRX Racing. Indy, really all racing. Majority of it's NASCAR, but if you're a big NASCAR fan, Span. Make sure you guys tune in 2 hours, or hour and a half, 2 hours on Tuesday night. But show kicks off at 8 o'clock. And then we got local racing on Thursday night. They'll be back in the studio in a month or so. Southern Dirt Chat Report, great show, fun time. Make sure you guys check it out. Like I said at the beginning, if you have a show that you already do, say on Blog Talk Radio or one of these different platforms, and you want to be able to put it onto syndicate it onto another platform to get it out to all these different outlets, say such as iHeart or Spotify, whatever, or maybe you want to do a show, just don't have a platform to do it on, just hit me up, MrCJSports@gmail.com. Got to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus, as we're doing all our shows this year out of the Carolina Sports Plus studio. Mario, once again, let them know where they can find you, your store at, Facebook, website. That way we can send them your way to get all sport merchandising.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You can find us in Rayford, North Carolina. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Carolina Sports Plus, and you can find us online at carolinasportsplus.com.
You guys can find my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports. You also can hit me up on Twitter at Mr. CJ Sports as well. I'm looking forward to be back in the studio next Wednesday. We used to do a Tuesday way back in the day. Next Wednesday night, Mario and I will be back in here to do it again to get you guys caught up. We were going to do a Super Bowl prediction. We'll do Super Bowl prediction next week. We got a whole extra week to do it before they got Super Bowl anyway.
Yep.
So next week we'll catch you on all the trade rumors, all the any other action. Oh, we didn't even get into the Sean Payton thing. We got to make sure we talk about Sean Payton, Denver Bronco coach now. Definitely going to get that in there. Get some NBA talk as the season continues moving forward. I'm sure we're going to have some more Patrick Beverley talk as well. So looking forward to being back in the studio next Wednesday night, 8 o'clock right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Mario, thanks for hanging out with me. Glad we got an opportunity to do this together. Looking forward to many more shows.
Yes, many more shows. Thank you for having me as well.
Yes, sir. Everybody have a great night. Until next time.